Many years ago now, when I was a student at Sydney University doing economics, as part of the degree, we had a certain freedom once we'd completed the three majors to really study anything else anywhere in the university. And since I was stuck over in the business and economics faculty, which was a rather boring building, I thought I should do something over in the main quadrangle, somewhere where I could kind of almost imagine that I was at a real university. And so I enrolled in biblical studies. It was an interest already. And I did that for actually 2 years. And I had a range of teachers the first year, a rabbi, an Anglican priest, and a Catholic nun. But I won't go into a joke about what that could possibly be about. But the second year, I had this beautiful old rabbi, Dr. Marsden. And the first year was kind of a bit devastating because they were into kind of new movements in terms of biblical studies and interpretation. As a young person who hadn't kind of experienced this before, I had the sense of the scriptures really being pulled apart. But under Dr. Marsden, he had this deep reverence for scripture and this sense of really holding the word of God as something to be treasured. And when we looked at this particular passage that we have for our first reading today from Genesis 22, we spent hours upon hours looking at this passage. Because within the Hebrew scriptures, it's true that the first and major motif is the understanding of Exodus and the deep significance of that lay at the heart of the experience of Israel. But the second thing, and the second passage that was most reflected upon, is Genesis 22. And they call it the Akedah sacrifice, drawing from a word that is in verse 9. It's the word for binding. We don't actually have it in our story for whatever reason in the extract that we have in our liturgy. But it's that place where Abraham binds his son Isaac. And the Hebrew word for binding is the word Akedah. And so there is this deep reflection that is begun about what on earth this passage is about. Of course, we meet Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. There he's called forth from the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he's called to leave his homeland and to come and go to a place where the Lord would reveal to him. Then in Genesis 15, the first covenant is made with Abraham, and he is told that he will be the father of a great nation. Of course, by this stage, he's already old. He and his wife Sarah are unable to bear children. And so then, when in Genesis 18, they're given a child, it's this most beautiful and precious gift. And so we are introduced to Isaac in Genesis then 21, and we discover just this deep and profound love that exists between Abraham and Isaac. So here at the beginning of Genesis 22, when the Lord says that he will test Abraham, and he says, for no apparent reason, Abraham, I want you to go and take Isaac, your precious son, off into the wilderness to offer him as a burnt offering. We're just dumbfounded. We're lost for words. How could God ask this unthinkable thing of Abraham? What is he thinking? What on earth is happening here? And then in the passage that we don't have today in our liturgy, but you have this description of Abraham and his two young servants with Isaac, and they get on this donkey and they go along on this journey day after day. On the third day, they finally reach this place where the Lord has shown Abraham is the place where he will offer this sacrifice. And he looks up and sees the mountain of sacrifice. And so he tells his servants to stay there with the donkey while he continues on to climb up this mountain. And it's there that he then lays the wood that will become the burnt offering on the back of Isaac, his young son, and forces him to carry this wood up the mountain, while Abraham then is there with the fire and the knife. Again, provocative imagery. I mean, just imagine if you were there on the mountain and you saw this older man binding up this young boy, tying him up with the knife in his hand. What would you do? I mean, surely you'd be calling docs, wouldn't you? You'd be saying, my goodness. This has been a deep theological reflection, a philosophical reflection from people like Soren Kierkegaard, who wrote a magnificent book reflecting on this passage. A number of years ago, Abraham was actually put on trial in New York City to judge, what was his motives. And he was found guilty of attempted murder. That's the only logical outcome that you could have for this story. It's outrageous. It's shocking. It's terrible. And if you just read it and think, oh yeah, you miss the power and the impact of the story. This is meant to get in there where the bones and marrow are joined. It's meant to get right into the soul of you, to shake you and to question you and to challenge you. It's one of those deep passages that call us to reflect on who God is and who the God of Israel is that calls this kind of response from Abraham. And then we watch in horror as Abraham lifts the knife, because we realize that Isaac could have escaped. Isaac could have run away. When they're climbing the mountain, Isaac says, you know, here is the wood, there is the knife, but where is the lamb to be sacrificed? It's a question that continued to echo right throughout the centuries. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham prophetically says, God himself will provide the lamb. God will answer our need. And then, of course, the angel of the Lord intervenes. And the angel says, Abraham, I see that you have proven yourself, that you were not prepared to say no to me, that you would go through even this most terrible and heinous crime in order to be faithful to my commandment. You have demonstrated that this is the kind of faith that I require. This is the kind of commitment that the Lord needs from his people. People who are prepared to say yes, no matter how terrible the circumstance, because they know, like Abraham, that God is the God who is the creator. The God is the God of life. The God is the one who, even in death, can bring out something good, something precious, something wonderful. The God is one who can restore, renew, and resurrect to new life. And so perhaps the interpretation that the book of Hebrews places upon this passage is correct. That Abraham knew that even if his son Isaac was killed, that God could restore him to life, that God could bring new life into the situation. That is why Abraham is the father of faith. That is why Abraham is celebrated throughout Christian and Jewish and indeed Muslim literature, because Abraham becomes that sign and symbol of a person who commits himself entirely and utterly to God, who is able to say an absolute yes to the Lord. That Abraham knows the consequences of this. It's not just something he does in his head. It's something he acts out, something he lives fully and manifests. And this is at the heart of our Lenten season. This is the invitation that the Lord gives to us during this season, to renew and reaffirm our yes to God, to have the same faith that Abraham had, to be able to say that complete and unreserved yes to God, regardless of its consequences, regardless of how much suffering it might imbue within us. That this is what faith requires for us to give our complete and absolute yes to God, to completely and wholly offer our hearts and our lives to the Lord. This season of Lent is an invitation for us to fully embrace anew and afresh this gift of the Lord, to act with faith, to declare our faith in God, but to get up and put legs to our prayer, to be able to realize and celebrate this amazing gift of faith that is demonstrated in the person of Abraham.